You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
I got to tell you, I've been in some amazing worship services where, you know, you just kind of forget that you're in a room with other people. And the sound of worship, the sound when, you know, I love those moments in worship when the band just stops playing and it's just the voices in the room. I've told our worship team that to do that as often as we can. I just love the sound of that, the sound of saints before the throne of God just worshiping with all their heart. But I don't think it's a very close second to say that my next favorite sound in the world is the sound of the joy when the saints of God get together around that. And the laughter, the genuine affection in the body of Christ. It really is nothing else like it in all of creation. And to think that that's how we get to spend eternity. I was just thinking while we were worshiping this morning about we're talking about the breaking of bread, which, as we know, Jesus is the bread which came down from heaven. So the early church, when they would gather and they did this thing that they called breaking bread together, they were really just celebrating the fact that Jesus was there in the midst and Jesus had been embodied in their midst. And there's this powerful revelation here after Hebrews 11, you know, the hall of faith. And it says about Jesus, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that's been set before us, looking unto Jesus, lifting our eyes unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross, thinking nothing of the shame. And now he's sitting at the right hand of God. Therefore, consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And when I look, and I just love watching the saints of God interact. I love watching the saints of God praying for each other, enjoying each other, just laughing together and having a good time together. All of the kind of things that make family what family is. When I consider that, you know, what was Jesus thinking about on the cross? When he was hanging there in absolute agony, he felt physically everything you could imagine somebody would feel being crucified, having been scourged, having his beard ripped out, having been tortured, really, for the 12 hours leading up to that moment. Part of me almost felt like, man, the cross might have been a relief because finally he could get it over with. But to be on that cross and to have this revelation, what was he thinking about on that cross? He wasn't thinking about the crowd that was spitting on him. He wasn't thinking about all the torture he just endured for 12 hours. He wasn't thinking, oh, woe is me. Look, I came to my own and my own rejected me. He had this joy that was set in front of him. He had a joy that he was looking into in the unseen realm. He had a joy for the ages to come that was in front of him, a joy that nothing could ever be, could never be taken away. And what was that joy? It was that he would have a body in the earth that he could love, that he could be one with. This bride was about to be born. He was about to be, to have in what we would later call the church, the embodiment of himself in the earth. And for that, he was willing to endure it all, and he thought nothing of the shame of being rejected by his own people. He thought nothing of the shame of hanging with no clothes on in front of a mocking crowd for whose sins he was paying a price. That's what the breaking of bread is about. When we come together around this table, I know I grew up in a church where we celebrated, we called it the Eucharist. It was a celebration of the Lord's Supper. Every week we did it in a liturgical church. And every week, you know, we would have the body, we would have the blood. And I really had no idea what it was about. I just knew it was the highlight of the service. It was what everything was leading toward. If you were a Catholic, it was the Mass. That was everything that the whole service was about, was leading toward that. Now, I wouldn't really, personally, I wouldn't want to go back into a liturgical kind of thing, do the same thing week after week. But there's a power in this that we've missed out, because we've thrown so much tradition out the window. I'm not for tradition for tradition's sake, but there's some things that we just cannot lose in the body of Christ. One of those things is what it really means to break bread. what it actually means to have the living presence of Jesus embodied now in the midst of his saints. Karen, can you go a couple of slides ahead? So when we assemble together, there's this revelation about the body of Christ. And I'm just going to read this passage out of 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to minister to each other out of some of it. How many of you came ready to pour out what's been poured into you? All we need is at least one in every group, and we'll be okay today. So we'll see if we can get the rest of you on board by the time we get there. So just soak this in. I know it's a familiar passage. I know 1 Corinthians 12 is one of those passages that, you know, we've read it, we've talked about it, we've, you know, since Sunday school, you know, about the body, and it's got many members and all this kind of, but I want to encourage you to just receive it as for the first time today. Because I believe that the embodiment of Christ in the earth is something we haven't yet seen. We just haven't yet seen all of the glory of what the body of Christ is going to look like when we're fully manifesting Jesus. I'm a student of revivals. I love reading the stories of days gone by when God just awakened a church in a nation and transformed the nation because the church woke up. I love reading the stories of times when the outpouring of the Spirit was so strong, people were getting saved before the preacher could even preach. I long for days like that. I long for days when just because there's an atmosphere of worship that people walk through the doors of this very building and they fall on their face and say, I need to know this Jesus you're worshiping right now because there's something so real. There's something so alive. There's something so active in your midst right now. I need what you guys have. I long for those days. But there truly have only been a few rare and precious moments when the body of Christ was completely empowered, where every member of the body was alive and active and functioning according to what Christ in them best manifests. There have been times in great outpourings with his preachers. You can name a lot of them, I'm sure. You could name whoever the man was, whoever the woman was that God was using at that time. But we're stepping into days right now where the body of Christ, it's the body of Christ that's doing the ministry. And that's what makes my heart beat when it comes to my role here, my service to this church and to us as a family. What makes my heart beat faster is knowing every single one of you is alive and active and doing what you were born in Christ to do. So, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they're many, are one body, so also is Christ. For even as by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And the members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and members individually of it. So it says in this opening, just to be clear, that we're not talking about a metaphor. It says, now, even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they're many, are one body, so also is Christ. So this is not Paul giving a metaphor, like a picture. How many of you had teachers that had a metaphor for everything? Jesus was brilliant at this. All of his parables were metaphors. You see, the kingdom is just like this seed. You put it in the ground, it grows. You don't know how it grows. It's a tiny little thing, grows to be something big. Great picture to illustrate a point. And sometimes we've thought of the body of Christ like, oh, that's just an illustration. That's just kind of a picture of spiritually the reality of what we have. And I want to just encourage you that's not what it says. As the body is one body but has many members, so also is Christ. Christ has many members. So we use the phrase like he has members of his body, like we're signing up for something and joining in on him. No, we're the actual embodiment of Jesus in the earth. It's not a metaphor. It's a reality. It's our reality. You and me, every member of the body of Christ has a portion of Christ that we carry. No one more important than another. No one less important than another. No one more deserving of honor than another. No one less deserving of honor than another. No one less essential. We had this thing over the last year about, you know, essential businesses and all of that. Everybody's essential in the body of Christ. Everybody is essential. So Christ is not merely spiritually present when we gather. He's incarnate. We are the incarnation of Christ in the earth. We sing all the Christmas songs about the incarnation. Did you know that Jesus is still incarnate? Dare I say it? Can I take a word back from the Hindus that we are the reincarnation of Christ? He used a Hindu. It's weird. That's a weird spirit stuff. I don't want to come back as a frog. You don't. Jesus came back from the grave in the form of the body of Christ. That's his embodiment in the earth today. So now it says that God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. So I started sharing a little bit last week, and this is really what Wednesday nights are about, getting comfortable in our own skin. He places the members in the body. Now, Pastor James shared about how we're going to, those have been asking, you know, how do I, you know, become a member? Here we just believe membership is like a covenant. It's like, you know, a man and a woman that want to be married. I know Lee and Naomi at one point, they were considering eloping, you know, with all the wedding plans. Where are they? They're mixed up around the room, right? When the you know, it gets stressful planning a wedding. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I try to help couples not, like, diffuse the stress and enjoy the day, but with all the plans and couples are just like, why don't we just elope? Where's it say in the Bible you gotta have a pastor and a wedding and a dress and walk down the aisle with your dad and all that? It's just like Abraham and what's his wife's name? Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, there's no wedding ceremony. They say, you want to be married? Yeah, let's get married. And they're married. That's it. Two shall become one flesh. Boom. It's done. And it comes that moment, but what we do with a wedding, because especially in our culture today, marriage doesn't mean what it meant to God when he created it in the first place, for the most part. Marriage doesn't have this automatic, oh, it's two for life. We get that there's no such thing as I'm with you, now I'm with you, now I'm with you, and, you know, there's no like the woman at the well, oh, go get your husband. I can't. Oh, yeah, that's right, because you got a whole bunch of them. There was none of that in God's heart and God's mind. And so because of that, we make covenant. And that's what we believe membership is about. It's saying you can count on me. It's saying I am giving and receiving of the life flow of this family, and I'm not going to let you down. You can count on me. You can lean on me. So when we create this culture like we have in America especially, but in most of the Western world, where it's easy to hop from church to church because I like the programs over here, I like the ministry over here, I like the worship over here, I like the preaching over here, I like the color of the carpet over here. Oh, you think that that's not a thing? It's a thing. Oh, yeah. They believe this over there, even though they never talk about it. We know that they believe, and there's all kinds of reasons. Or that person that offended me is over there, so I'm going over to this church. It's a great thing because I've got friends. I'm friends with all the pastors around here. I've got friends. I know that they'd be great shepherds for anybody that got into their midst. I know that they're good men of God and women of God. I know that there are a lot of awesome churches around here. And that's a great thing. On the other hand, it makes it easy to kind of move from house to house. And here's the thing that happens with that. Now, remember, I'm not yet a gardener. I'm better than I was. But I do know that if you take a bush and plant it, like I just planted an apple tree, a Gala apple tree from Smucker Gardens, now sits in my garden. I'm ready for that thing to get rooted and get planted. But if I put it in there and I kind of step back and look at it a month from now and go, you know what? I think I'd like it over on that side of the garden. And I dig that thing up and I move it over to this side of the garden, plop it in the ground, do all the prep work and all of that. And then a few months later, I go, you know what? I think I want to put it back the other place. I pick it up and I move it back over and plop it down to the ground over there. How many of you know that after a few times of cutting the roots out and moving it, it's not going to grow roots anymore? That's true, right? That's the thing. Some gardener, shake your head, yes, right? You can only uproot a plant so many times before it's just not going to thrive anymore. Why? Because all things that God created were made to get rooted, meant to grow deep, rich roots. That thing's not going to bear fruit until it's got root. And what goes into the root will end up in the fruit. But if it's got no root, it's not going to have fruit. That's a fun rhyme. I might just keep up on that a little while. And so when we move from place to place, we dishonor God because it's He that sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. I know there's a lot of time that many of us waste, and I sure did when I was younger. I wasted so much time trying to find out who I am. And I tried on all these other things, and rather than just be me. My daughter has a shirt, I don't know where it came from. It says, "I would rather be me," right? Because we always say, man, I want to be whatever. I want to be Wonder Woman, or I want to be Captain America, or I want to be Batman, or I want to be anybody but me. And I love this shirt. And it says, I would just rather be me. When we get comfortable in our own skin and comfortable where God has planted us and stop saying, God, why am I here? Can I confess something? I know the pulpit's not supposed to be a confessional, but I struggled with moving to this area of the country. I'm an inner city boy. I like the city life. I like the city culture. I don't need the nightlife anymore, but just that things are open. Then I went out for a date with my wife the other night. We can't even sit someplace for coffee after 9 o'clock on Friday night. So I struggled. I struggled with moving to a place like this at first. And, you know, you could spend a lot of years just saying, I don't like where you put me. I don't like this place. I don't like the things. I don't like driving over horse poop on the road. What's up with that? So you could complain, right? And I don't know about you, but I know me, and there's so many of us, we spend so much time saying, God, why couldn't I be over there? Or why couldn't I have this? Or why couldn't I be like that? Instead of just saying, you know what? You set the members, me being one of them, in the body just like you desired. And I wonder what would happen if I just said, well, here I am, and I'm just going to get rooted and established in love. I'm going to let my roots sink in deep to drink deeply from the well of life that God's planted me in. And I'm going to trust Him that although I might like that aspect of that group better, and I might like this thing over here better, if Jesus planted me here, then this is where I belong and this is where I thrive. So we honor God when we bloom where we're planted. It's one way that we honor God. And I, like I would say to everybody who, you know, goes in that membership class, you've got to first know from the Lord if Hillside is your church. It's a sacred thing. I never once, there's not a person here that could ever say that I tried to convince you to be a part of Hillside Church. And we've asked all the elders not to do that. Even Pastor James, and although, I mean, he's an awesome exhorter, and we're not going to talk. We don't want to convince anybody. You've got to know that you know that you know this is home. And I know many of those that have become members of Hillside have said, the day I walked through the door, it just felt like I came home. That's how it should feel. That's how you know this is it. I was in the pot, and now I'm getting planted, and I'm going to let my roots grow deep. There's so many times I believe that we uproot ourselves and move right when we've been in the soil long enough to start bearing real fruit. And then we move on and we partake of the fruit someone else has been growing. instead of bearing our own where we're planted. And that is a powerful thing. So we honor God when we bloom where we're planted. We also honor God when we are comfortable in our own skin. Being comfortable with who you are, being comfortable with the gifts that you have, instead of always saying, I wish I had those gifts, I wish I could speak like so-and-so, I wish I could fix stuff like so-and-so, I wish I could grow things like so-and-so, I wish, instead of saying, man, you know what, Jesus, you gave me everything that I need for life and godliness, and I love the way you made me. I love the way you made me. I'm going to read you something out of the book of Job. I did this the other night with the class, the gifts class. Just listen to what God is saying about a horse. Now, I love horses. I'm still a little wigged out by them, but I love horses. I love riding horses. I love being around them. Don't like the smell so much, but I like horses. But you think of what a horse is compared to, you know, a human being in terms of its complexity and its capacity and all that. But just listen to God speaking about a horse to Job. Do you give the horse its might? Do you clothe its neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear. He's not dismayed, and he does not turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the flashing spear and javelin. With shaking rage, he races over the ground, and he does not stand still at the voice of the trumpet. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, aha! And he sensed the battle from afar and the thunder of the captains and the war cry. Let's get a little bit of a feeling that God's proud of that thing. He watches those horses do what horses do. He goes, yeah, we done good with that one. How much more when he looks at every one of us? How much more when he looks at the only part of his creation that he handcrafted? He literally handcrafted the first Adam, and he knit every one of us together in our mother's wombs. So here's what I'd like you to do to prepare for how we're going to minister to each other. Turn your chairs around, please, like you guys over there. Take the dividers out so you could turn and look at each other with this. But I'd like you to take the bread and break it up. And then pass it around. Give everybody a big chunk of it. Like if you have four people, divide it into roughly four pieces. And take your chunk of that bread for a minute. And I want you to just remember something as you're doing this. This bread is the bread that came down from heaven. You are a partaker of Christ. This bread, although it does represent the broken body of Jesus, the broken body of Jesus, now a portion of that is what you're carrying. You are a part of the divine nature. So just privately with you and the Lord right now, express thanks to God for how he made you. You don't need to share anything with the group. Don't say anything to anybody else. Just get together with those around you. But just ask the Lord, I just heard how you talked about the horse. If you would write Job, you know, chapter 40 about me, how would you be describing me, Father? Go ahead and just take a moment and let the Lord tell you how he made you, and then thank the Lord for what's strength to you. Can I just tear one thing down that some of you might be wrestling with right now? It's not prideful to acknowledge how God made you. It's not prideful to say, I'm really good at that. It's honoring the Lord to say, I'm really good at that, because he gave that to you. He made you that way. So go ahead and give some thanks to the Lord for how he made you, and then hold that piece of bread in your hand. Okay. So that is you tapping into the grace of God that you carry, and maybe helping you identify a little bit of the part of the body of Christ. Not so important that you know, all right, I'm like a finger, I'm like an eye, I'm like an ear, I'm like a big toe. You don't have to actually figure out metaphorically what part you are. Knowing what part of the body you are begins with tapping into how he wove you in your mother's womb. Getting in touch with that. That's the grace of God that you carry. It comes alive when we're in Christ. We all probably could trace back before in our BC days, before Christ days, things that we did that are similar to what our strengths are in Christ. But there's something that happens when the grace of God begins to flow on those things. The grace of God, what happens when the cross comes to it. And oh boy, add the anointing on top of that. Now you got explosive power with the grace of God that you carry. So Paul says, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The parts that seem to be weaker are necessary. How many of you have ever injured a part of your body, like broken a bone or something like that? And how many of you realize that you noticed how much you needed that part after you couldn't use it? Like I fell down my basement steps the other day. I jacked myself up to the full. It would have been funny to watch on a video. And I didn't realize how much I depended on this part right here. I thought, man, you know, it's no big deal. I don't really use that for anything. And then I went and leaned up on a counter. Yeah! Right? Yeah, I think I broke it anywhere. Or did something really bad to my big toe. Man, last night I was bowling. Bowling! Who gets hurt bowling? And I threw the bowling ball. Yeah! Because my big toe said, hey, I'm not fully healed yet. It's amazing how when we're missing something, we find out how valuable it is. So just as a get to know you, break the ice around your circle right now. Make the case for which external part of the body you believe is most important. External part. So no heart, brain, none of that. We all know you die without any of your internal organs. External part of your body, which one is the most important? You have 5 minutes to go around your circle and make the case. Which one? So think, another way of thinking about it is, which one would you ever say, man, I would never want to live without, fill in the blank. All right? 5 minutes. Figure it out. All right. So I know I experienced it in my group, and I'm sure you did in yours, how when you're talking about that part, what it would be like to live without it, you know, there's a way to compensate when you lose everything. Blind people are amazing at getting around. Deaf people are amazing at communicating, though they can't hear. I mean, Beethoven wrote the Ninth Symphony when he was deaf. It's extraordinary. So we find ways to compensate, and what I want to propose is that we've learned how to compensate for missing parts in the body of Christ for too long. That we've learned how to live without certain parts, and we've gotten so used to it that, you know, it, I mean, we use the word handicapped, and I know that's an offensive term, but it just means that something's not working the way God designed it to, and you miss out on it. You know, I say something different every time I answer this question in a group, but today, because I'm thinking about playing softball with the guys on Friday, I said, I wouldn't want to lose my legs because I wouldn't be able to run around anymore and play softball. But, you know, every part. I shared this Wednesday night, and I hope none of you spilled the beans in your little groups. But you know what part of the body is most important? You know what the answer was the Lord gave me? I just think it's logical anyway. The part that you need at that moment is the most necessary. If you want to tie your shoes, by the time you learn how to do it, you could do it without anything up here in your head. You could do it without hearing, smelling, seeing, tasting, talking. But if you don't have your hands, you can't tie your shoe. Because you need that part. So I wonder, and I believe the world wonders, what's it going to be like when the whole body of Christ is functional again? What are we going to find out that we could do when every part's moving and working like it should? What's the world going to be like when the whole body is awake and says, oh, I didn't know we had one of those. Wow, we can do that. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. And we're going to be able to do that. So the most important part is the one you need at the moment. That's why every last one of us is essential. We just won't even know what we're missing out on till you get active. I remember I broke my pinky when I was in middle school, which was brutal. And it made fun of me. I was playing volleyball with my mom too, of all things. Fell and broke my pinky. So I had the cast on the pinky and all that. And I mean, it was a month of doing everything. I felt like, you know, British. I'm drinking like this. And it was just brutal. I'll never forget the day that cast came off, or that splint came off, and I could use my whole hand again. Hallelujah, I got a pinky. That was just a little pinky. What's it going to be like when every member of the body is fully functional? As Paul said, now those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. That's you, Karen. I'm sorry, I lulled you to sleep. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. God has this way of, you know, we tend to think the honorable gifts. Just think of what things we give honor to in the body of Christ. Like what parts of the body? We give honor to the mouths of the body, the loud mouths, the preachers, right? That's an honorable part of the body. Typically, the first question people want to know is, well, who's preaching? We give abundant honor to worship leaders, for sure. Anointed worship leaders, oh my goodness, so-and-so is leading worship. I am there. Man, they know how to bring heaven into the atmosphere. And we give honor to big speakers, apostles, people with certain gifts like healing, gifts that are more loud and life-altering in the moment, like the wow gifts, the gifts that are signs and make you wonder. Those kind of gifts. We give lots of honor to those gifts. But then there's other gifts that just we don't, as people, tend to give them honor. But God has given a tremendous amount of honor to them. So honor is not just for those we deem worthy. And I was really humbled as a children's pastor over and over again. At Christ Community Church, we had a bunch of kids, and some of them were just really anointed. And there was one kid I'll never forget, who just had a gift of healing. Alex was his name. He was a prophet, gift of healing, really sweet, funny kid. He was the kid I've told you about that he'd be prophesying. He'd have like 12 kids come up. He'd pray for them. They're all, you know, out in the spirit. And then he'd go back 5 minutes later in worship. He's got somebody in a headlock, you know, in the middle of worship. And that's children's ministry for you. But this kid, over and over again, would just say things, just off the cuff, a little word of encouragement to me. And he's like 8, 9 years old when I met him. He would just say something, you know, I can't even remember specifics, but I was down and he'd have just the right word to say on that morning. He had no idea and he just made my day. Just like that, a little 8-year-old. So sometimes, you know, never think less of the kids. For one thing, but with the people that we think, so-and-so doesn't really seem to have much to offer me, that might just be your pinky toe. And you've been learning to live without that thing for so long, you don't even know that if you open your heart and allow them to minister, what God's going to do and what God's going to say, because everybody's worthy. All are worthy because we all carry Christ. All of us are worthy because we carry Christ. We have in us the capacity to use any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have in us the ability to move supernaturally. We have in us the ability to speak a word that can transform a life just like that. To reach out our hand to heal just like that. We all have the same Christ. Therefore, there's always that same possibility. So when we steward our portion of Christ well, that thing that you gave thanks for a little while ago, whatever that thing is, whatever those things are that you know, man, God just made me awesome at this. It's a grace I carry. One of the things I shared with the class Wednesday night, a way of identifying what you're gifted at, is that you do things by grace that other people do by effort. So like everybody's supposed to show mercy. For some people, it just seems to come more readily than others. Now, we all are called to do that. But it's like some people could just forgive 70 times 7, no problem. I'm just getting warmed up. Sin against me again. You know, it's like that's a mercy gift. Because we're carrying Christ, though, we're all capable of everything. And all of them, we take what we are awesome at, steward it really well. So, well, Paul goes on, he says, so that there might be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, here's where love broke through. This is where it all comes down. This is when ministry really begins to happen. that we as a body, we as a covenant community, as a family, there are times that we're weeping with those who weep, and then there are times that we rejoice with those who rejoice. When people are rejoicing, it's because they just hit a home run, they just did something amazing, and the carnal side of us might be jealous that they're now the center of attention. Anybody ever wrestle with that? Don't you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Right? So-and-so got the forefront right now, but here's the thing. If one member is honored, we've all been honored. Look at a bodybuilder and say, wow, he's got just great biceps and that. And it's like, the biceps are being honored in the triceps. Like, oh, what about me? If one part of the body is being honored, the body has been made glorious. If one person is worth celebrating, that's all of our celebration. One person has a victory. We all just had a victory. We begin to view the world that way, begin to view the body of Christ that way, that I don't ever have to be the center of attention. If I'm just the supporting actor, if I'm the foil that somebody else at this moment can shine, if I'm the setting so that diamond can shine in that moment, I did my part and we all are awesome together. Anything that happens for any member of Hillside, Hillside rejoices with you. I want to exhort you to that, to hear the testimonies and celebrate with them. Now, I know sometimes you might have to wrestle through that thing of, great, you got your answer to prayer, but what about me? I'm feeling you, I know. I would propose that there are times that if we would just learn to celebrate that testimony, that it opens the door for our testimony. That we learn, because when the body gets strengthened, if you have gangrene in one of your limbs, right? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member of the body has gangrene and the rest of the body doesn't do its part to help, the body's dead. That body's a goner. But when one member suffers, we all suffer with it. We minister to one another. We say, man, if you are down right now, if we're missing out on what you have for whatever reason, we're all missing out on it. We cannot do it without you. We don't want to do it without you. So how can we minister to that and bless it? How can we strengthen you in that? So I want to give you an opportunity now to minister to each other around your circle, to pray for each other and rejoice with one another. How many there's not always, like every time we get together, we don't all have a need. Sometimes we're just in a season of rejoicing. We're dancing on the raindrops. It's all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows everywhere. You don't need to go digging into your life to find something wrong and say, oh, I need prayer for this thing right now. Look, there are days that it's just plain old, everything's awesome. Everything is awesome sometimes. Sorry. It is. There's some days that it is. I said this a couple of weeks ago in class. It was funny to see some of the faces. I said, do you know that it's actually possible to go a day without sinning? See, some of you are giving me the same look like right now, like, what? No, we're sinners saved by grace. Yeah, of course you can. What's the point of Holy Spirit if you're never even going to make it 24 hours without sin? Stop being so hard on yourself. It's like, no, I got to find something. No way I made it a whole day without sinning. Instead of at the end of the day celebrating and say, I did it. We did it, Jesus. Look, ooh, I'm more like you. Celebrate with those who celebrate. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Hey, you know what? Things are going awesome for me right now. Don't look at that person and say, oh, come on now, there's got to be something wrong. This is why some people don't ever go to small groups. They don't want anything to do with it, because you come in and it's like, oh man, I don't need prayer for anything right now. Things are going great. No, everybody needs prayer for something. No, dude, don't step on their testimony. Rejoice with them. It's awesome. God came through. Praise God. You ever, I'm back to coaching swimming at the Y right now, and I forgot how much I miss the action of racing and all of this. So I've been at a few of the meets and just seeing like one of those close races, and the pool gets so loud. I mean, right now it doesn't because of COVID, it's just the coaches, but the coaches get really loud. But when it's a really close race and everybody starts cheering really loud, what do those athletes do? Man, they're about to break a world record because of the cheers of the crowd going on. We fan the flames of what's good. That's what rejoice with those who rejoice means. That when one part rejoices, we all rejoice with it. Man, fan the flames of that. Maybe you'll be the one that breaks a 4-minute mile, even though you're the fastest man in the world right now, because we're cheering you on in that thing. That's awesome. But also, I think the reason why some people are suspicious when somebody keeps coming to a small group gathering and says, well, I don't need prayer for anything. And then you know that, like, their father died and they just got fired and things have fallen apart all around them. And you know that they're just doing that happy, clappy church face thing. You all know what I'm talking about, right? The stained glass masquerade is on. I'm not going to tell you anything that's wrong with me because I don't want to be your project, right? Come on, I'm not the only project that's ever shown up in a small group, am I? But the reality is, when we're down right now, I'm suffering. And if I'm suffering and I stay in this down place, the truth is the body is missing out on the glory of what I'm carrying. The body is missing out on something I'm supposed to be stewarding right now. And until you guys suffer with me and help me get over this thing, until you tend to that. You know, when a body part gets hurt, you instantly protect it right away. It's called guarding. That's how you can tell where somebody's hurt. They're holding it. Show up on an accident scene. Oh, right? Where's my EMT? Where is she? I know she's here today. Is she in children's ministry? All right, you guard it. You hold on to that. What's hurt? Your body instantly responds to it, but only if you signal, hey, I'm in pain right now. So I want to give you a few minutes to be some music playing. If you are in a season of celebration, share the testimony of what's going awesome right now in your life without fear that the group is going to... Hang on 1 second with that. Oh, I thought that was the music coming over there. I said, like, wait, I didn't... If you're rejoicing right now, fan the flames of that. Thank the Lord and pray for each other. If you're in a season or you're in something right now where you're saying, you know what, this thing's going on in my life and it's keeping me down. It's keeping me down. It's getting in the way of manifesting Christ in me. Pray for each other. So here's how I'd like you to do it. Take your piece of bread. You have grace. You are carrying what makes you awesome around that circle right now. It may be words. It might just simply be lay hands. It might simply be whatever you feel led to do. And we'll go around your circle, share what you're rejoicing at or what you're suffering with right now. And as you pray for that person, just to invite the Lord to be a part of this. These are not just human words that we're going to speak right now. This is not a merely human activity. There is supernatural grace, which is a redundant statement. There's grace right now that's going to be poured out through your mouth and through your hands as you minister to each other. And as we receive now in the breaking of bread, I'm taking my portion of Christ and I'm going to minister it to you right now. And as an act of receiving the grace that's being given to you, partake of that bread as you're being prayed over. Does that make sense? So go one at a time around the circle. You might be able to go around two around your circle. Worship team, as soon as you're all finished with your group, you can come on up on the platform. And as it looks like people are wrapping up, Abby, you can go ahead and lead us in that closing song. Don't partake of the juice yet. We'll do that together to close out our time. I'm going to give you a little while to do this together. Take your time with each other. Really minister to each other. If we move into worship and you're not done yet, just keep going and join us when you're ready in your song. So is that clear? I tried to be clear. All right. Then let's minister to each other. So, thank you, Karen. Now you can do that next one.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.